Thank you, Briley. Good morning to everybody, and welcome again to all of you who are our guests today. Best wishes to all of you who are our families in this congregation here, and thank you for your loving service to the Lord in every way. I want to say happy anniversary to Don and Gail today. Say that for you too, and also to let Johnny know I looked at the bulletin. All right. We were thrilled on Friday evening when Aiden Davis was baptized into the Lord. That was a joyful scene. He's already headed off to the university at Rolla for the fall semester. And some of the others of you will be headed off to various a campus here or there in one way or another during the next several days. And we want you to know that we're proud of you, and our prayers will be with you, and we hope to say why in our service this morning. If you seek it like silver, I'd like you to think about that it in that statement. I looked up the word that this it is referring to in one of my Bible dictionaries. And that book says that this it is basically the art of being successful, of forming the correct plan to gain the desired results. Now think of that. Forming the correct plan to gain the desired results. What would you think that would be defining? I mean, if you weren't able to look up the verse and all that, what would you think it would be defining? It's wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to form the correct plan to gain the desired results. That not only means that the desired results is a quite an important matter for your life, but it means that wisdom is a great gift. There's no doubt that when it comes to living as a fully human being, living well and living successfully, the Bible's advice comes down to this one short statement. Get wisdom. That's a father's instruction and a mother's intention. Proverbs 4, verse 5 and 7 has twice, get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. This is the top of the list in the maturing of the young Jesus in Luke 2 and verse 52. He increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Starting from the end, you see life involves social activity, spiritual activity, physical well-being, but also wisdom, the ability to form a correct plan to gain the desired results. And this is the way of the children of light in the New Testament church. In Ephesians 5, at verse 15, Paul urges us, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. All of which leads us to ask, all right, what is wisdom? How would it bless my life in ways that nothing else could? And what can serve as its roots in my life to nourish it and let it develop and bear good fruit? And a good place for us to see something of the promise of the real life that wisdom holds is in the impressive description of it in Proverbs chapter 2. Other places in this book, but this chapter I think especially. I want to read for now the first 15 verses of this. Please be aware that when this chapter speaks of my son, it's not simply a parent talking to a boy or a girl. This is wisdom talking to all of those who would adhere her and who would walk in her ways. So the woman wisdom says, my son, If you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of His saints. Then you'll understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. The Proverbs are never shy about facing real life, and it surely happens in this text here, but neither are the Proverbs afraid of real life, or neither do they lack the confidence that life can be lived well if the voice of wisdom is heeded and followed. Think with me to start with from this text about the nature of wisdom. There is, of course, wisdom that's not necessarily what we're talking about here. There is wisdom from the world that's more like shrewdness or sophistication. The nature of what we're talking about here is a bit different. One clue is in the terms that recur in this text as allies of wisdom. There are three of them especially important. Where there is wisdom, there is insight. This version says it's sometimes translated discernment. There is understanding, and there is discretion, sometimes translated as prudence. I looked up those terms, and they have the word experts say that they, unsurprisingly, have something in common. The unifying idea in these words is purposefulness in the use of what you know. The ability, in other words, to have a purpose that you can identify and say what it is, and then being able to see what will move you toward that purpose, and then making choices that take you in that direction. It comes as a shocker to a lot of us to stop and really think about the fact that life does not necessarily hold us the promise that everything will turn out happily ever after, but that some of it involves our actually knowing what the great purpose in our lives really is, and then being able to see what will help us along that way and choosing that way. So the nature of wisdom will depend on the purpose that ties what you know together. I encourage all of you who are headed back to school to have something in your life that, whether you're studying math or science or English or your favorite things like history or geography or whatever they are, that you ask yourself, what keeps these from just being isolated subjects that I have to take? What is there that brings these all together and unifies them as a part of life? And you'll find out the candidates to do that are somewhat limited in nature. It'll either be what you want, what other people think, or what God says, what God wants. That brings us to the other clue that's here in Proverbs 2 about the nature of wisdom. It's the place of the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God in this picture. Verse 5 identifies this as being present. The presence of God means a life lived to His glory is meant to be the true purpose for us. And the ability to use the best means in order to reach that true purpose is wisdom. What will allow me to live my life to God's glory? I ran across a few years ago a devotional in the little Power for Today. This was written years earlier by Lynn Anderson, and it has thoughts in it that help me at least to sort out what wisdom is not from what wisdom is. I think it helps to show what I'm getting at. Wisdom is not knowledge. Highly educated people often lack wisdom. You think about it. There are some marriage counselors who get divorces. There's some psychiatrists who commit suicide. There's some preachers who commit adultery. There's some economists who go broke. Wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom is not cleverness. Someone observed that Hitler was brilliant, but definitely not wise. Wisdom is not experience. It doesn't just depend on how many birthdays a person has had. Many people have had 1 year experience 20 times and not 20 years experience and increased wisdom. Wisdom is not diplomacy. Both Jeremiah and Jesus were wise, but both of them left a wake of trouble in some ways around them. So what is wisdom? Wisdom is, when you get right down to the nub of it, glad submission to the will of God, to the known will of God. The fear of God respects the disastrous consequences of ignoring God's will. The love of God recognizes the wonderful benefits of walking in a wise Father's ways. And so wisdom is the application of the Father's will in all of the various settings of life. Wisdom's the ability to see the difference between right and wrong. And the heart to choose the right and the strength to do it. Wisdom is also the ability to see the difference between good and best and to want to do the best thing. Did you know that there are some things that may not necessarily be absolutely wrong, but they're not wise because they won't help a person or a family get to the true purpose of God in their lives? Wisdom, then, is what allows the one who has it to make the proper and the best use of any knowledge ever gained. Sometimes in the Bible, wisdom appears as a thing that God created and wove into His world, the principle of it that we might describe as how things work. Sometimes wisdom exist in the person's heart who recognizes how God made things work and can bring himself in line with it. That's the nature of wisdom. Now, what are the blessings of this deeply meaningful quality in the person's life? You'll notice that what some of the indications of this are from the what we've read in Proverbs 2 about wisdom, what some of the blessings are. Verses 7 and 8, for example. Wisdom is the thing that allows God to be a shield to those who walk in integrity. It's what allows Him to guard the paths of justice and what allows Him to watch over the way of His saints. You might say, well, wait a minute, doesn't God do all of that for His people anyway? Of course God is present to do it, but the wise God cannot sanctify the unwise way of life. He can't protect us from consequences when we are contradicting His nature and how we're living. Wisdom, to walk in wisdom, allows Him to shield us. Wisdom allows an understanding of righteousness and justice and equity and every good path to happen. In our culture right now, it's amazing how concerned people are with justice and equity and how unrighteous we can be in the way we go about trying to promote those things. Wisdom allows these to be to go together, the understanding of righteousness, justice, and equity. And then if you look at verses 11 through 16, you notice that the discretion that is exercised through wisdom will watch over you, and understanding will guard you, delivering you, it says, from three things. Delivering you from the way of evil, delivering you from men who do evil. That would be men of perverted speech who forsake the paths of righteousness and rejoice in doing evil and who are devious in their ways. And then, discretion will watch over you and guard you and deliver you from the strange woman and her unfaithfulness. Verses 16 and following mention that. We didn't read them, but that's in this chapter as well. If you think about this, from the wisdom is what protects you from bad philosophy, from the manipulation of wrongdoing, and from the temptation of immorality. You don't quit being human. Those things don't go away from being around you, but wisdom allows you to navigate all of that. I want to, having taken a kind of a zoomed in view, I want to zoom out for a minute and ask you to think with me about something that I at least believe to be very important. When you think about it, you actually notice that each of the wisdom books, as they're sometimes called, the wisdom books of the Bible, illustrate one of the ways in which wisdom blesses a life. I'm going to classify the wisdom books as all of those that are sometimes called the poetical books. Sometimes people classify only Job and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes as wisdom literature. I include Psalms because of Psalm 1, for example, and Psalm 37, and Psalms 111 and 112. I also include the Song of Solomon in this category because it speaks about love that doesn't end and what that means. So here's a way to think about how wisdom blesses a life. In Job, for example, we have a story of a man which shows that wisdom enables a person to remain loyal to God, the God who is greater than any of us are, even though we are in the middle of a struggle with questions that we can't answer about what suffering and evil does to us in this world. Job didn't understand a lot of things, but he had wisdom. The Psalms show us that wisdom is what allows a person to relate to God in all the different roles that God needs to be over the course of a lifetime. Wisdom allows a person to relate to God as his king, as his shepherd, as his judge, as his refuge, as his hope, and to expose the whole breadth of emotions of which a human being is capable to the presence of God. The Proverbs show that wisdom equips a person with an understanding of how life works and lets him live well in every arena of practical responsibility, from his work to his neighbors, from the temptations in his physical body to the family around him and the ideas that are above him. Ecclesiastes shows that wisdom permits a person to discover lasting meaning and fulfillment within the randomness and the unfairness and the uncertainty and brevity of this temporary life. And the Song of Solomon shows that wisdom allows the unique and exclusive love relationship between husband and wife to develop and to bond and to flourish. Wisdom is key equipment for living in all of those ways. So just consider what wisdom is meant to add to human experience and what goes missing when wisdom is absent. What are the roots of wisdom in my life? Ran across an essay by Curtis Shelburne entitled Wisdom in the Times of Our Lives. He was offering a meditation on the first part of Ecclesiastes 3. The beautiful passage, it says, "For everything there's a season and a time for every matter under heaven." You remember the passage. I just want to stop for a minute and offer my own observation. It's that what moves this saying here from everything happens for a reason to wisdom is found in verse 11 of that chapter. God has made everything beautiful in its time, and also He has put eternity in man's heart. What Shelburne does is to take the parts of this which say, there's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And to say that wisdom takes into account that life is made up of all of those different seasons and life changes as we go along, and sometimes we move from one to the other within the space of one day. And so he says that what we all need to hear is that the times and the seasons and the cycles continue, and then to listen to wisdom in that. And here's some of the bullet points that he suggests. Wisdom says it's good to know that the times and seasons really do change, even if it doesn't seem like that's possible for you right now. Wisdom says it's good to take what's immediately good about the good and incredibly difficult about the bad and learn from both. Wisdom says that though experience is the best teacher for all of us, we needlessly impoverish ourselves when we fail to listen to the experience of those who go before us and have priceless insights about life. Wisdom says that genuine truth is truth for all seasons, and it doesn't change. Wisdom says that the best way to live wisely and into the future is to learn from the lessons of the past. Wisdom says that only the incredibly foolish ever think of themselves as being wise. Wisdom refuses to be a slave bowing down before the supposed wisdom of its own time. Wisdom knows that the glitz of its age, either industrial or technological or informational, makes it not one bit wiser than the aged past. Wisdom knows that genuine wisdom is rooted forever in the truth of the one whose existence holds this world and universe together. The only one who is constant, unchanging, and true in all seasons. The older I get, the more important I believe it is to realize that wisdom does not just belong to my generation. Often those who are quite young have a great dose of wisdom, and those who lived a long time have missed it. What is it that enables a person to hear messages like that and to be receptive to it? Look at what this text calls on us all to do. It involves inclining your heart toward wisdom enough to be attentive to it and to receive its words and to treasure up its commandments. That's verses 1 and 2. It involves seeking it and searching for it as for hidden treasure, calling out for it, raising your voice in search of it. It involves relying on the conviction that the Lord is the giver of what we're after and making fearing Him the organizing principle of life and knowing Him the desire of our hearts. And it involves practicing uprightness and integrity and holiness as our normal in life over a long period of time. And it's not that wisdom is somehow elusive or trying to evade the hearts of regular people. No, wisdom is in this passage is on the street corners of ordinary life crying out for whoever will to accept her. Chapter 1, verse 20. Not everybody will, but anybody could. And that's what we want to encourage today. Whatever you get wisdom. I'd like us to think now about what so many of you and your families are beginning probably this week for a lot of you. That's the gaining of knowledge that can be used with wisdom. We'd like to pray for you today. I want to ask first that those of you who are serving in public education this year and as teachers or in one way or another, would you please be standing for a moment? All of you who serve in public education, okay, you guys will notice that several of our families here do. Thank you guys for your service. Would all of you parents who are educators in your own homes or in a forum like that who are training your children, would you please join them in standing now. Okay. You can see that adds a few more of our people. Would all of you young men and women whom we love very dearly who are headed back to a college campus here or there this week or next, please join these people in standing right now. Would any of you present who are going to school for the very first time this year, please stand right now. That means if you're a kindergartner, by the way. Okay. Would all of you present who are beginning your last year of high school, please be standing with this group. Okay, one over here maybe, okay. And then all the rest of you who are about to partake of the exciting, great new world of school for this year, would you please be standing with all these groups here? Okay, all of you who are headed to school, if you'd please be standing, okay. You can see that involves a great many of us. And if I were to ask the grandparents of these present here to be standing, that would add a great many of the rest of you, wouldn't it? I'd like to ask everyone to please be standing and remain standing when I finish this prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you that because we have been made in your image, there is the wonderful capability of the mind in our lives. Thank you for the capacity to learn, to imagine, to teach, to use what we have learned. Thank you for the ability to make choices, to exercise our own wills. Thank you, Father, for the ability to relate to other people and to form friendships. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of living within a community and a country and having a role that we can, in which we can contribute to the well-being of the whole. Thank you for your people and for the way growing and the way Jesus did becomes a part of our lives. Father, we're so grateful to you for our brothers and sisters here who serve in public education, who try to exercise Christian influence by means of kind, caring, and instructing of young hearts and minds. Please bless these brothers and sisters of ours with well-being and safety and fulfillment and the wisdom and the energy that they need this year. We thank you, Father, for our parents who are providing education for their children, either themselves or in conjunction with a group of like-minded parents. We are grateful for the loving care which is given and for the time and energy and expense in life which is involved. And we pray that you'll bless our parents with strength and wisdom and patience and energy that they need for good success in their undertaking. Father, we're so grateful to you for the young men and women we have seen grow up in our congregational life, and for the great ability and the character which is a part of their lives. We're thankful for the possibilities that they have in what they'll be able to do for your kingdom. And we thank you for the joy in their lives. We pray, Father, for your watchful care over them, not only in traveling, but during this school year, that you'll give them good success in what they begin to do, and help them to exercise sound wisdom. Father, we're thankful for all of the younger ones, the young men and women, the boys and girls who are headed off to another part of their own growing up years and their education, their learning over these next few months. We pray, Father, that you'll watch over every one of them and that you'll bless them and care for them, strengthen and encourage them, and help them, Father, to find delight in these years of their lives. And help them always to know that they are loved by not only a family, but also by us. And help them to know that we're with them and we're for them as much as you are. Father, we're grateful for the privilege of praying for each other, and we ask these favors in Jesus' name. Amen. While you're still standing, I want to read to you from Proverbs 3. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than the gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Having said all of that, I want to remind you that the New Testament says that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Jesus Christ. To have Him and to be His disciple and to walk in His footsteps will provide the wisdom that we're looking for over a lifetime. You may be here today desiring to make that beginning. If you are, we offer you the opportunity to let us know that while we sing this next song together. Come if you need to make the good confession.